You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John in chapter 17. Gospel of John, chapter 17. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. God, your word, your love letter, that we might have understanding, that we might be able to withstand, to stand, to honor you, to understand and enjoy you. Thank you very much, Spirit of God, honor your word, honor the person and work of our Lord, and we'll thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we proceeded to the end, the prayer in the upper room before he goes out to the cross. And in light of Sunday school, where we looked at God's wonderful saving grace, his impeccability, his wonderful, wonderful ableness to not only save us to the uttermost, but to meet every need beyond our understanding or expectation. So now, adding to that, the Lord, Abel, knowing all that he's going to do and all that he is, here in the upper room, remember as we finish John chapter 16, the disciples are in fear of life, prison, the end of everything, the end of their journey in time, that is, all the wonderfulness of being on earth disappearing because of their hope of our Lord going to die. And therefore, they're very, very, very discouraged. So now, and they're going to all fall apart. And God told them in chapter 16, verse 33, that God, I'll read it, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me, in Christ, you might have peace. In the world, which we are, you shall have tribulation, trial, trouble, pressure. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So now, he gives them that awesome formula, that recipe for success. They're going to have a wonderful, wonderful relationship to God in a very, very troubling and troubled world. So they're going to have that. There's no problem. But what God is going to do, he's going to help them. So he lets them listen in to his conversation, the perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, to God the Father. And they listen to the prayer. We have the prayer in front of us, chapter 17. And the prayer is to encourage them, to understand where's the encouragement going to come from. God isn't going to talk about the trials out there in the world and all the ills and aches. He isn't going to do that. He's going to tell them about his wonderful relationship to God that they are now going to have. And that relationship to God outranks, overrules everyone, everything, everywhere. And that's what you need to understand. I want to survive. I want to be able to make it in the troubled, troubling world that's getting worse and worse, difficult to live in. Now, having said that, so therefore, he tells them about his wonderful glory. The glory. God, what are you going to do? Well, what is glory? The wealth, the worth, the weight. We shared all these things. The glory of God. God is glorious. He's awesomely glorious in every way, shape, and form, at all times, forever. He's God. G-O-D, God. Wow. Infinitely, the three little letters. I am that I am. One little letter. I am. Wow. As it were. Now, so therefore, God, you're going to help them. What is involved in this? That they don't have it now. They're going to go. Christ is going to go to the cross. They're going to be all scattered, as we read in chapter 16, verse 32. It's going to be a very, 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 very difficult time, few hours, to say the least, a few days. That's it. What's going to happen in the Acts chapter 2? Something wonderful is going to happen to them. It hasn't happened yet. God is going to be able to go, and the wonderful life that the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ had as the God-man is going to be now given to every believing heart that would look to him. God is going to make it possible for God, the infinite, invisible, unmeasurable, everything is in the middle of God. All of the stars, all of the galaxies are in the middle of God. There's nothing outside of God. God, how can we deal with you? In the person of Jesus Christ, God is going to go and make it so that as he was in Christ Jesus by his death, burial, and resurrection, he is able to be and find his home in the human heart and have all of those wonderful benefits. Of what? The benefits of God. Glorious God. Glory. God is glorious. To have the glory of God. What does that entail? Why should that be such an encouragement? It isn't to them right now. They haven't gone out the door yet. It isn't to them right now, but it will be. Therefore, and here we are on the other side of the cross. So what is it that they were to have and we ought to know and understand and enjoy if you're a believer? Now, over to John chapter 14. And in verse 6, you know it, but just let it come together. Chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So wherever you're going to take us, you're going to take us to the Father. That's what the Lord, the whole, born in Bethlehem of Judea, the whole trip to the cross, his resurrection, his ascension to the right hand of God, that whole journey is to get us to God. That's why God will say in John 10, we'll do that, you're right next door anyway, John chapter 10, what did he say? John chapter 10 and in verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The sheep will get through the gate and find a wonderful, wonderful provision, a pasture, the pasture, and be able to go and enjoy a wonderful green, watered, well-kept garden, as it were. Now, so God, having said that, God, you want us to do that. And back over to John 17, I didn't mean to leave that important piece out. John 17, God's going to get us to the Father. He's the door. And when you get to the Father, there's going to be a wonderful pasture fullness, a wonderful fullness on the other side of the door. Is a wonderful, wonderful provision. John 17, remember our Lord told them, they're looking for God. They're looking for God. He's going to go and die on the cross. And we slide down, if I can, to verse 2. 17 and 2. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. So to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and to know him as our Savior is to have eternal life. Well, what is eternal life? Remember, chapter 17, verse 3. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So life is a relationship to God. It's to a person, another person. The person is God. God. Not a human, not an angel. It's to God. Our Creator, our Savior, etc. Now, having said that, so it's about our life. He's the door, he's the way, in order to have a relationship to whom? The Father. To know and to be knowing God as Savior, as Father, to worship, to enjoy His wonderful person. So creation is to be understood, and all the wonders of creation are to be understood in our heart. How are we going to understand the wonders of creation? By understanding the God who created them, the artist who painted the picture, to be in his mind, to enjoy the heart and mind, as it were, of God. Not just what he does, but to enjoy God for who he is. That's something else. Not the painting on the wall, but the painter. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so God, that's what we're to do. So you're going to go and help us to be knowing and growing. And the word knowing here is we're to be knowing God, and God's to be knowing us in a most wonderful, wonderful way, chapter 17 and verse 3. So the Old Testament we share together introduces God, the glory of God. We did that. And in the process. So all the Old Testament comes with a great big arrow pointing to God. It's all about God. God being who he is, the only Savior, the only God. So therefore he's introduced so that we can come to the Bethlehem of Judea. Bethlehem, a little baby is born. A little baby is going to grow up and die and go to the cross in his most wonderful, wonderful way. And he's going to do that. All of that had happened at this point in John 17, and he's going to go out to the cross and die. Now, in order to do that, it's an awesome thing to go to the cross, and all that God is going to do and make possible is very, very costly. It cost God himself to go to the cross and die. We can't do it. No one can do it. We aren't qualified. We aren't able to save a mouse, let alone anyone else. Wow. God, you did it. That's right. Now, to see how important was it to the Lord Jesus Christ on his way to the cross to get us there. What was wonderful about it that kept him motivated? What is to keep the disciples motivated after his crucifixion? It's his glory. John chapter 12 again for a moment. And you will note, John chapter 12, picking up, please, in light of the context, verse 27. 12 and 27. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So you have John 17, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's what God's looking for. You're looking for that. Looking for what? For God to be glorified by his death on the cross, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. We just did it in Sunday school. Now, having said that, over again, chapter 13, in the upper room itself. You'll remember, he says it again. What's so wonderfully, wonderfully important? John chapter 13, verse 31, you'll remember. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, when Judas had gone out the door, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. What hour? What is it that's going to happen? Verse 32. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself. In other words, God in Christ, Christ in God. We're going to have a wonderful, wonderful exercise of revealing and making known God's awesome person in an awesome way. The end of verse 32. Glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. So it's all about God being God. That's what you want to think about. God being God. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, how is that going to be translated into our life in a most wonderful way? God, you're going to go and do something wonderful. So when I receive the Lord as my Savior, John 1:12, as many as received him, then I receive him. God, I become a child of God. Now, God, that's wonderful. Where does this glory fit in? Colossians chapter 1. Colossians in chapter 1. And you will note, of all the mysteries that were never understood in the Old Testament that are now made clear, the mystery of Christ going to the cross. And therefore, if I can, in the light of that, to know God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Whereof I am 1:25, Colossians. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation, the stewardship of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, to make all that God has happen. Verse 26. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, it was never understood, but now is made manifest, clear, public, plain, simple, manifest, to his saints. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory, not just glory, the riches of the glory of this mystery. Well, what is this mystery among the Gentiles? That's us. Here we are sitting here, as if you're saved, know the Lord as your Savior. Which is Christ in you, the what? The hope of glory. So it was all about, what was it all about? About God. About God. That was the problem. What's so exciting? God is making possible for you to know God in a way, as our Lord Jesus did in his perfect humanity, to be able to enjoy the purpose of why you were created in the image and likeness of God, to be able to enjoy God's awesome person. Wow. That's what it's about. That's what God wants. It's a glorious thing. God is glorious. Ah, so now, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that isn't too hard to understand. That when I received Christ, when I received the artist, Michelangelo, whatever, receive an artist, I receive the one who does the painting. When I receive the architect, I receive the one who does the building. When I receive the doctor, I receive the one who doctors. When I receive God, I receive God. I receive the person. It's one thing to have something. It's another thing for the person, the God. What's so glorious? God is. What's it all about? God, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So therefore, in the light of that, if I can, chapter 3. And chapter 3, picking up, just staying with the theme so you pick up the mood and movement. Chapter 3, and may I go directly to verse 3. For you were dead, Christ died on the cross, took us to the cross, paid the price for our sin, took us to the cross to die. And you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God, who is our life. When Christ, verse 4, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. That's right. God's glorious. That's what he is. He's a glorious God. So when you receive him as your Savior, you receive God. That's glorious. When you're going to go to, when God takes you home, that's glorious. God is glorious. That's what he is. He's God, 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 God. Wow. Wow. That's what it's about. My pain, my hat, my family, my friends, my world, my city, my taxes, everything. Line them up. Pain, disappointment, depression, and all the rest of it. Line it up. But then there's God. God saves us. from us being us to us being in him, in Christ, which is glorious. Now, having said that, chapter 1, back to chapter 1, verse 11. You'll pick it up. Well, here's the prayer of Colossians, which is, you want to know what God wants, follow the prayers. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Glorious power of God. What are we going to be? Everything about God is glorious. There's nothing dull. That's why God doesn't say add and subtract so much as he says multiply. I multiply to you. I don't add. I don't subtract. I multiply grace and mercy. I multiply it. Lots. Multiply. Multiply. Wow. To the 10th power. Wow. Now, having said that a little bit, keeping that in mind, how is it going to work itself out? And what are we, believers, are going to get caught up in it? Romans chapter 5. And the believing heart is going to go and enjoy the trip. Where are we? What did John 16:33 say? In the world you will have tribulation. He didn't say you're going to bypass it. You're going to go through it. You're in it. You're in it now. They're going to crucify me. You're going to stay in it. I'm going. But I'm going to leave you with a relationship that you never had, that wasn't even possible. I'm going to give you a relationship to my Father by way of what I'm going to do on Calvary's cross, so that you can enjoy God in all of his awesomeness, so that you can make your journey down the corridor of time in tribulation. You can do it with God. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for what? Thou art with me. God. That's how we're going to go down the corridor. We aren't going to go down, and it isn't a picnic. It isn't meant to be a picnic. It's meant for you to be showing what? That God, in his saving grace, is able to save a whosoever, and you're one of them. Now, so in Romans chapter 5, speaking of all of the tribulation, you'll remember, may I start in verse 2. 5:2. By whom also we have obtained, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand. And rejoice in hope, a hope of what? Of the glory of God. That's what we're doing. What are we doing? We're going down the corridor of time, and we're looking for the glory of God. That's what God's God to be God. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, midnight, a.m. and 2 a.m. and 10 a.m. in the morning. It doesn't matter. God's going to be God. He never stops being God. The clouds may come. The sun's always shining. It's always shining. Now, so therefore, so when we come to chapter 5, verse 2, verse 3, and not only so, this glory, not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now the difference, the reason I'm saying, this word glory is the word boast, to say something from, not the, that, the word we're looking at, has to do with God's glory, his wealth, his worth, his weight. This word, this little word in the Greek, is boast, to be boastful, to speak out. And it's boast, to be proud, to be say something. And it means to say something because of being delighted about something. And how would you say that? To rejoice. Therefore, look at the little word boast. The word glory, I should say, in verse 3, and go back up to verse 2, and do you see the word rejoice in verse 2? That's the same word as glory in verse 3. And, to do it while you're all in the same place, verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God. The word joy is the same as glory. Joy, rejoice, boast, glory. So you got it. Right in the same place. So what do we say? The believing heart is going to be excited about going through the trial, test, trouble. It's going to be excited. And it's going to go, I might as well finish that, in verse 3, not only so, but we glory, we're all excited, joyously happy in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, bearing up under patience, experience, a wonderful, wonderful knowledge that you learn, and you know something, experience. And experience produces hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So, God, we're going to look, and we're all excited about what you're doing and how you do it. So therefore, God, now, in this glory, and we're excited about the glory of God, he's doing it. Hang on. Now, so God, they're going to find it out. This is for us. We're on this side of the cross. Now, over in chapter 8, in the midst of the trial and trouble and everything, chapter 8, pick me up, please. Directly in the light of the context again, chapter 8, and Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon, I'm now going to read verse 17, so you'll have a little better punch to it. If children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Aha! Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. God, we represent God. We aren't representing God in heaven, we're representing God on the earth, which is full of tribulation. So that's where we are. It isn't a picnic. Romans chapter 5. It isn't meant to be a picnic. It's meant for you to roll up your sleeves. It isn't for friends and family and social things. It's for you to be a successful person in a very troubling world. That's the whole point. Now, having said that, therefore, verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present hour, present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed where, dear friends? In us. What's the glory in us? Would you read in Colossians 1? Christ in you, the hope of glory. God in the heart. When I'm going to receive the Lord as my Savior. You're right. You do it. You had to get saved. But when I do that, what happened? God, who's glorious. But my world's the same. My hands are the same. My refrigerator's the same. My pills are the same. Everything's the same. But it isn't the same. God is glorious in you. All of that being existent, God is able to go, and his glorious, you get Romans chapter 5, boasting, rejoicing. God, wow, I live in all this, but it isn't about this. This is all going to disappear. My days, my hours are numbered. I'm here. Christ in me, Christ in the believing heart is glorious. And, verse 18, I'm waiting to get there, and what am I going to discover? There's all kinds of glory in God's heaven. But where is it going to be discovered, dear friends? In your heart. You're going to discover it in your heart, which is right now where it is. And I don't see you all bubbling, no offense to you, I don't see you all bubbling up gloriously understanding this. I don't see you jumping up and down. No. Because we're locked in, and I have to go by faith, and I have to understand what happened to me when I got saved. And too many dear believers don't understand what happened to them, and they never enjoy it. They never enjoy being saved. Just don't do it. Well, they could, But our system doesn't demand it, because people don't really want to what? We've shared it 1,000 times. People don't want to know God personally like that. No, they don't. Because that changes their whole world in every way, shape, and form. Once I get a sense of God's holiness, His righteousness, His cost, and His hatred of sin, and hatred of darkness, and death, and evil, once I get a taste of that, that's never going to be the same for me or for you. It's different. So now, God, what do you got? This Christ in me. Aha! Now, isn't that good? Over to Romans 8. Keep going in the chapter. Wonderful, all of these things. But in chapter 8, because we're looking at an understanding of glory. So chapter 8, picking up, please. Oh, you'll catch it in verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Now, verse 29. To whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate, to mark out ahead of time, just predestinate, to be conformed. What did God, what are you after? To be conformed to the image of His Son. So is it Christ in you? What are you going to be? God wants you to be the man, the woman, the boy, the girl that Jesus Christ is, to enjoy the wonderful relationship to God that He had in a most wonderful, wonderful way. That's what He wants to happen, have that enjoyment of a person, of God. Now, having said that, we're to be conformed to the image of His Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, verse 30, what God's keep going, building. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, mark out ahead of time, mark out the boundaries of how much God is going to do to be conformed to the image of His Son. Them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, declared righteous, them He also what? Glorified. He glorified them. What's all done? What is it glorified? To be like Him. To enjoy God. What is eternal life? It is to know Him. And Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. That's eternal life. It's a person. To know a person. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, over if you would please to 2 Corinthians. And that's at your page after page. All I'm doing is trying to get you to see it, if you want to see. What's it all about? It's about God and what He's done for you, what He is to you, what He is in you. And that's, I know that's foreign, but it's the way it is. Chapter 4. And 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. May I pick up, please? You'll catch it. In verse 4, remember the gospel is hid to them who are lost. Verse 3. Verse 4. In whom the god of this world, that's the devil, hath blinded the minds of them, so that them which believe not, in other words, they don't want to see and they don't. Lest the light, why? They don't want to see, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They don't want to have that light. They don't want to see that light. Now, verse 6. I'll read verse 5 context. And we preach, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. Verse 6. Reason. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined where? In our hearts. For what? To give the light in our dark heart, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. To be able to have a wonderful understanding of your Savior and Creator God. To appreciate God. to respect God, to honor God. Wow, that's what he wants. Verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're vessels of dust, we're nothing extraordinary about us in the flesh, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God's awesome, 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 awesomeness in what he does. Now, having said that, as you keep reading in the context, we would come to verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4 and 16. And we slide along, and God, you're going to bang it home again. That's right. Verse 16. For this cause, verse 15, so you see it. For all things are your, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For all of this is happening, this exercise, here we are assembled together in God's name, looking for God's grace on the Lord's day, looking for God to do it. For what? Verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man, our external outward man, is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So the outward part is dying and decaying and disappearing, and we'll have to put the body in the ground. Ashes or dust we are, and dust we came from, dust we are, and dust we're going back to UST, dust. But, verse 17, for our light affliction in this troubling world, for our light affliction is what is but for a moment. Now, if I make it easy for you, 100 years, that's a long time. I'll take however old you are, 100 years. Now, how big is 100 years? 100 years is a long time. After you've lived 100 years, you won't think it's a long time. But anyway, here's 100 years. What's 100 years in the light of timelessness? It's nothing. That's why Ecclesiastes will say, if a man live 100 years and he's bad, don't get envious. Because 100 years and you're lost and don't know the Lord as your Savior, forever is a long time. So don't get upset, because I think of people, I know them, actors and people live 90-something years old. They say, wow. Now, 2 Corinthians, in the light of that, verse 17, for our light affliction, which for a moment worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. We're looking for that. So God, something's being worked out. That's right. Where is it being worked out? In your heart, so that you are able to go and enjoy and understand God more and more and more and more until you get to heaven, when you can really understand. And you'll understand what? God. God created you, God saves you, God is in you, God loves you, God. In his awesome person is glorious, and you're going to enjoy God in his glory, in all of his everything, angels and otherwise, but you're going to be, the centerpiece is God. Now, so therefore, verse 18, why we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, and that's true, temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So the things we can't see, that's what lasts. But you're worried about the price of gas and something else. We got all these different things. But that's things we see. They're all going to disappear. Even when you look in the mirror, everything you see in the mirror is going to disappear. That should be an encouragement to you. You're going to go and look in the mirror, and everything you see in the mirror is going to disappear. Isn't it? If you don't think so, go back and look at a picture when you were 10 years old, 15, depending on how old you are. Go look at a picture. And then Jeanette has pictures of what I used to be around. I don't know the guy. I don't know that guy. I look at him and I say, I don't know that guy.
Who is that guy? Wow, whatever happened to him? He must have got hit by a truck or something. What can I tell you? No, it happens. It happens. It's only for a moment. All that's taking place isn't to keep this. It's to do something in here, in your relationship, to cement it together, to have it grow and develop. For what? To know him. It's only for a moment. But it's, oh, I know people, you've known them. People have been literally paralyzed out in the bed for years. A lady, oh, but she had the sweetest attitude. She did. You couldn't be with her without encouraging your heart. You went to encourage her, she'd encourage you. That's what she'd do. That's what she'd do, because she had it. She had it in here. This didn't make any difference at all. Now, so therefore, over if it can. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians in chapter 3. And you'll please note, God, you're going to say it again, all kinds of ways to get it to us. Chapter 3, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 17. 3:17, 2 Corinthians. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. But we all, with open face, that means there's free. We're looking straightway into the mirror, nothing between. We're looking straightway into the mirror, nothing between us, to see the face in its fullness. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, as in a mirror, the glory, there it is, of the Lord. We're looking at God's word, God's doing, I'm understanding a little bit about glory. It's going to sink into my little head and heart, and it begins to get me to think and understand and appreciate being saved. So with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, we are changed. Changed, metamorphosis, like the butterfly. We're being transformed. We're being changed. We're being transfigured. That's right. The glory of the Lord are changed into the same image. Not like, what's the standard? The Lord Jesus Christ is the standard. He's the man that God said everyone was created, humans, in his image and likeness. They need to enjoy God. That's what humans are for, to enjoy God. That's why he died for them. The end of verse 18, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord. So we're being changed and changed, and we're looking for God to change us. That's a wonderful thing, a metamorphosis, to be growing, to being actually alive, belonging, literally, rightly belonging, and becoming, literally, rightly becoming. That's Don't look for somebody else to say that to you. Don't look to find it. In your own heart, find it. If you're tasting whatever good food that you like, and you eat the good food, and you taste the food, and the food, and you're eating it, it's going to taste wonderful to you. And the people all around you, don't think the food's good. It doesn't look good. It doesn't smell good. I don't like it. But you are enjoying it. God, enjoy. Let God, the truth, find a home in your heart and enjoy it. If you're waiting for husband, wife, brother, sister, mother, father, if you're waiting for them, you may not live long enough. So get your act together, stand in a circle, and let God do a work in your heart, and you enjoy it. Our Lord enjoyed being who he is, in spite of the fact that no one else did. And God enjoyed the Lord being who he is, and God didn't enjoy the rest of them that didn't care. And God enjoys the believing heart that's believing. That's the way it is. That's what you're looking for. Wow. So God, we're changed from one degree of glory to another in a most, most awesome, awesome way. So now, God, as we look to you, as we're changing, present tense, being transfigured,
and everything and all that you do and all that you say. So our exercise, we're exercising our relationship. As if we're saved, John 1:12, you become a child of God. Receive Him as your Savior. You become a son in the Son. And what are we to do? We're to abide in God, like a branch to the tree, abide. That's a Jew. Isn't it hard? If you, again, if you have to trouble with that, when you go out, look at the trees. The snow's all hanging on them, you know. I don't see the branch. You won't see the branch panicking. Do you see the branches all yelling at each other? Save me, save me. Why don't the branches say, save me? Because they're abiding. And they don't care how much snow. They don't care if it's ice. Doesn't matter. Because pretty soon it'll be spring. Leaves. It doesn't matter. They're abiding. That's right. That's called believing God. That's what we're going to do and abide. Now in closing, over if you would, since we're in Corinthians, stay there. Over to 1 Corinthians. And 2 Corinthians 1, may I go directly, verse 20, in the light of the context. For reason, all the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in Him, amen. Purpose, direction, reason. What for? Unto the glory of God. All the promises and all the words and all the wonderful truths that we don't even know, hundreds of promises, wonderful truth. We're looking at a little of it. All of that is real. And where is it going to find a home? In the heart of the believer. To the glory of God, the last two words, by us, by us, by us, the believing heart, in us, by us, by means of us. It's all personal. It isn't distant out here. It's personal. And you either enjoy it in a personal way or you don't. He's my personal Savior. He's my personal God, my God and my Savior. So you say the same thing? Wow, I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. They were excited, I'm trying to tell you. In Acts chapter 2, they got one excited group of people. That's what you had. The disciples that are all down in the mouth, boy, are they excited. And they needed to be because they were going to have a lot of trouble. Anyway, we'll pray. Our Father and God, we look to You to deal with our head, our hearts. God, help us. Help us to understand a little bit. God, we fumble along and our lives of Monday, Tuesday, work, home, school, play, and we miss out. We miss out enjoying Your wonderful person. Oh, God, it's our fault. We're guilty. So there's no sense in discussing it. God, we're just at fault. So thank You very much for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank You for the forgiveness of sin. Thank You, all of that has taken place. And thus, God, we're able to enjoy here and now at this very moment Your wonderful saving grace that is glorious. So God, help us, for those who know You not as Lord and Savior, who've never received You, God, deal with their head and heart. Help us and all the people that had the snow problem and the sickness problems. God, thank You. In Christ's name, amen.